Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
I'm Andy Bates. You're listening to His Time. It's Thursday morning. It is time for Historically Speaking with our friend, the Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink, Concordia Historical Institute's Director. Dr. Harmelink, good morning.
It's a fantastic day.
It's a fantastic
day. Lord's mercies are new every day.
Indeed. His mercies are new. We always talk about stuff that's new and stuff that's old, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, God's promises, they're old, but they go into eternity. So it's the same thing with these historic touchstones. They continue to bring us back to not only the past, but how that past propels us into the future, right? So
absolutely. I love all the history that you bring us to learn about each week here. Now, I see you brought your handy red pen with you. Are you going to mark up something today?
Yes, we're going to talk about a red letter day. How's that for a segue? Red letter day coming up tomorrow. 175 years ago, April 15th, 1841, and also April 21st, 1841.
Was it tax day?
Let's not talk about that this year. I don't want to. I'm in denial. Right
I hear
now.
You, brother.
But 175 years ago, an event happened that really changed the course of the development of what became the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and saved hundreds of people from despair and confusion. So these are big days. So again, Concordia Historical Institute, our ministry is to keep these touchstones of how God has been gracious to to Lutheran Church in North America. Keep those in front of us because again, we forget. I think, you know, anniversaries are great, and we think about wedding anniversaries or birthdays, anniversaries of congregations, churches, schools. It's interesting what people remember when that anniversary comes around. But I think it's also interesting what's forgotten. You know, so this history is at risk. So I don't know how many congregations, how many pastors listening today, how many lay people have remembered that this is the 175th anniversary. This is a major anniversary of a major event, the Altenburg debate. I think if you just stop people at the mall and ask what the Altenburg debate is about, they'd say, what?
Where's Altenburg?
But this is a major deal, and again, the bottom line on all of this is how God was gracious to these kind of bumbling, in chaos, suffering from depression settlers that convinced themselves that God had abandoned them. So I think the place to start, we had the Walther Roundtable yesterday, and this is an annual event where people come and they talk about the research that continues to go on about the beginnings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So yesterday at CHI, we had a good number of people, and one of the presentations was this presentation by Dr. Larry Rast, president of the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He presented on the Altenburg debate. So it's interesting that he started not with C.F.W. Walther's contribution at the Altenburg debate, but he began with these pledges, these written pledges or loyalty agreements that were given to all of the immigrants that were going with Martin Stefan to Perry County in Missouri. And you read the language of these agreements. And basically, Stefan had set it up that he was going to be the bishop. And bishop with a capital B.
What was his definition of bishop, or what was his understanding of bishop, as we know from history?
He confuses, you know, this being faithful to scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. He confuses that, or he mixes it up with, and we need this polity, this organization, this hierarchy, as we establish congregations, as we establish this Lutheran community. And guess what? I'm at the top. So he not only wants unquestioned authority when it comes to spiritual matters, but he wants supreme authority when it comes to the earthly things too. So this is the big, you know, the red flag should have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he had provided the gospel to these people back in Germany. He was, you know, seemed faithful to the word of God and the confessions. So people thought, well, okay, he's God's man. So everyone signed up for this while they're still on the ship, while they're getting ready to come up the Mississippi from New Orleans to St. Louis and then ultimately to Perry County. So the language of these things is, you know, basically we pledge our undying obedience to whatever you have for us to do. So he was in charge. He and his deputies were in charge of not only, you know, understanding the interpreting God's word, but they had the money chest and everything else that went with it.
Isn't there danger? What danger is there in that?
Big danger. I mean, again, the tools that the church has to work with is the gospel, right? The word and sacraments. So the church is not given a sword. The government is given a sword. So it's completely all mixed up. So that when months later, I mean, it was only a couple months after landing and starting to get settled in St. Louis and then down to Perry County, that it's found out that Stefan is a scoundrel and pulled the wool over everyone's eyes. And he's marched, rode across the Missouri River, and then, okay, now what do we do? So the leaders come out of the settlers and say, okay, are we now that our bishop has been exposed as a charlatan and is now gone, what are we now? You know, are we a church? Are we,
right,
has God abandoned us? Should we just pack up, confess that we had been hoodwinked and go back to Germany? What do we do? And so for almost 2 years, there's this dark cloud over these settlers, and there's just chaos. It's just chaos.
And granted, many of, as I understand, many of these who settled in this beautiful part of Perry County, but it was untouched land for the most part.
It's wilderness.
Right. They had come from you know, more of a city life, a village life, mm-hmm, in Europe when they came here. I mean, we're looking at untouched lands, you know, they're building homes and creating, you know, plowing fields and growing crops, all these things that take a lot of labor, and it's a different lifestyle.
That first winter was awfully severe. So again, you know, you can interpret that as we do as Christians today. You know, hard times come, and you think, is this God's judgment?
Yeah,
you know, on our foolishness to put not our faith in Scripture, not in the truths of Scripture reflected in the Lutheran confessions, but we put everything into this man. So, I mean, there's a big lesson right there.
Why did they come here to begin with?
Well, they believe that Stefan was, I mean, the wording here says that under Martin Stefan, this group is the last remnant of the true church. So this wording really builds it up. I mean, when you put everything into this bishop, into this, what you believe is the last man standing, when it comes to being faithful to the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. I mean, the fall is great.
But why were they leaving Europe? Why were they leaving Germany?
Well, the Prussian Union, I mean, the governments were saying, okay, it's a forced union of Lutheran and Reformed churches. So they're basically not being allowed to worship according to their conscience. You know, it's kind of this, okay, we're all, as Protestants, we're all going to get together and give a big hug. I mean, this is the, for many Protestant churches, this is what the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is going to be all about, is we're just going to give everyone a big hug, and we're inviting the Roman Catholics to come, and we'll hug them too. And just the confession will be, we just misunderstood everyone. So this is the spinning of history to... I mean, these efforts to bring everyone together, regardless of confession, right? Regardless of clear Christian belief. I mean, this was happening in 175 years ago, and it's going to happen in 2017 too. Hmm. So they believed, and Stefan, I think, fueled the fire in believing that we are the only remnant. I mean, after we leave Germany, there's not going to be any more true Christian church left in Germany. So they built all this up, this glorious, you know, we're going to be the true church in North America now, and then they find out that their leader was
unfaithful.
With a capital U. Right, so this Vese, who we have talked about before, he very quickly in 1840 just says, okay, we're done. We are done. And he makes arrangements, hops the ship, and goes back to Germany. And on the way back, writes his account of this debacle. And says, you know, we are no longer the church. So he's gone. His brother-in-law is named Marbach. So he starts pounding the table in Perry County, saying, we need to debate: are we a church or are we not a church? And so it's there in that desperate situation where C.F.W. Walther, in his angst, in his struggle, goes back to the Word of God and basically reframes the question. There was this thing, you know, do we do what the pastors tell us, or do the pastors do what the congregation tells us? And this is going on in the church again today, right? Go to any voters meeting, you know, you'll see that. But Walther says it's not about who's in charge, who has the power. He goes back to what does Scripture say about what is the church? And again, God's grace, Walther, brings us back to the comfort that it's Christ's church, and where Christ's word is purely taught, where the sacraments are administered according to Christ's command, there is the church. And so the people, again, their faith is strengthened. And they realize that it wasn't all about Stefan, or it's not all about Walther. It's about Christ and his promises.
And I have to give kudos to the folks who produced the Walther film. That really, for me, that helped me understand and see that, reenacted and dramatically interpreted. And it was very helpful.
A big event. So yeah. 175 years ago, again, on the 15th and 21st of April, give praise to God, give a doxology that God was gracious and spared us from basically just packing it up and saying we've sinned and God has left us and we're on our own now.
God has not abandoned his people. Yeah. Well, great. I always love the history you bring us. I always learn so much. We should just make a book out of it.
So if you want to learn more, Zion on the Mississippi, Servant of the Word, you can Google that. But learn a little more about this Altenburg debate. It's a real
take a little trip down to Altenburg as well. Take a day trip.
There.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Have a great week, Dr. Amelink.
Blessings, Andy. See you next week.
See you next week. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. You're listening to His Time.